We're going to get to rolling here today. We're going to be talking about roaming through Romans again. This is part five of the installment. And we're going to talk about dying the self and what that means a little bit. We're going to kind of weave through this. We're going to do chapters 6 and 7 today. And as I mentioned earlier, next week we're going to do Romans 8, and we're going to do that for 2 weeks. So if you'd like to read ahead next week, there's so much in Romans chapter 8 that'll really touch you and change your life. So I encourage you to kind of read ahead on that and kind of meditate on a little bit. But I don't know about you, but does anybody here have trouble every now and then with your old nature kind of cropping up, trying to come alive again and, you know, stir things up in our lives? I mean, I know we all do. You know, the Apostle Paul even had this same problem, so I think we're probably in good company. And we're going to look today at how we need to die to sin, because sin does not die to us. Let's jump right into Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. And remember, Paul is writing to a church that he did not plant. This is one that he felt led of the Lord, and it was a very powerful letter to this church. It covered a lot of things, and what I believe is this is information that he probably shared with his own churches that he planted. But that the letters that he wrote to his churches sometimes were, he was dealing with some issues when they contacted him about some things going on in their local fellowship, and so he would respond and tell how to fix those. But this here, he's just kind of given, I guess, the kitchen sink, the whole thing of really what, you know, we need to know in order to understand God better. Well, it says here in verse 1, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may increase?" Then he says, "May it never be. How shall we who died to sin, still live in it?" Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the unction of the Holy Spirit. Just to be here today, stirring us up on the inside, we thank you, Lord. We just want to glorify you today with all that we say and do. Thank you for the power of the anointing of God, just to be here to break any yoke of bondage upon our life, any strongholds in our mind, any pride, any selfishness, any things of the flesh that try to hinder us today, we take authority over them in Jesus' name. Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. And I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate through my lips, as well as the gift of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, here's a question that, you know, was probably prevalent of that day. And then it's one that we kind of covered a little bit, but I want to do it again. You know, a lot of times, you know, people get misunderstood about grace, and we're going to go into that a little bit. But, you know, the thinking was here that if we get grace to overcome sin, so if we sin more, do we get more grace? You know, so they were kind of, you know, I don't think it really works that way. If we try to manipulate the things of God, saying, well, you know, if God, you know, if I sin, I get this much grace. Well, if I go out and do this a lot of sin, well, maybe God will give me more grace. You know, that's just wrong thinking. But see, that's carnal thinking. And that's what we have to understand, is the difference between spiritual thinking and carnal thinking. Spiritual thinking, you know, is when we have understand and we've submitted ourselves, and we've been not conformed to the world but transformed by the renewing of our mind, so then we start to understand the things of God on a spiritual plane. But then on the other hand, if we have not renewed our mind, and let's say we just attend church, never read our Bible, never really pay attention, well, then we can get into carnal thinking, where we're thinking of our old nature, that flesh nature. And just so you know, the flesh always tries to save itself. The flesh will not go down with the ship. You know what I'm saying? How the captain's supposed to go down with the ship? The flesh will not go down with the ship, because the flesh is about self-preservation. And the old life that you and I have, that's why it keeps trying to come back to life, because it doesn't want to give up on us. It wants to try to control us. And so this is kind of dealing with that kind of thinking. And another way of looking at it is that if God loves sinners, then why do you and I need to be concerned about sin in our life? I mean, we tell everybody God loves sinners, right? If God loves sinners, So why should we worry about sin? God still loves us, right? Doesn't he?
Yeah.
Well, there's a reason. Because the idea is sin is destructive. And it misses the mark. Really, when it talks about sin, it's kind of talking about shooting an arrow at a bullseye, and it totally misses. And that's what sin does in your and my life. See, God loves us as we are, but he does not want us to stay that way. And so we need to start growing. Now, we are not, now this, don't, now you got to hear this all out. We're not saved by God's love. We're saved by grace through faith.
Amen.
So technically, it's our response to God's love that saves us.
Amen.
God loves everybody. God loves sinners. But not everybody is going to get saved. It's unfortunate. The only ones that are going to get saved is the ones who respond to that love and accept it by faith and receive it for themselves. And so that's the next step. That's a step that we all have to take. And if we do not take that step, then we miss out. And to me, grace in the hands of a carnal Christian is dangerous. Grace in the hands of a carnal Christian is dangerous because they're going to take God's grace and try to justify every one of their actions. And that's not what the grace of God is for. The grace of God is so that you and I can overcome sin.
Amen.
To me, grace, we know it's unmerited favor, right? But to me, it's God gives us grace. To me, he gives us the power to overcome. That's what his grace is for. And it's available to each and every person. Everybody. We can tap into that grace. And he can give us that power to overcome. If we're tired of responding the way that we are to certain situations, then we need to tap into that grace and we need to die to self. And we're going to look at that here a little bit more of what this is saying about that. So, this chapter sets us up to the idea that we need to die to sin because sin does not die to us. Now, I'd like to think everybody in this room and hopefully everybody listening to my voice right now is a Christian. I know that's probably not the case, which I hope some sinners are listening so they can get saved, right? But, you know, the idea of how this works, and you always heard me use this example, you know, when I got saved, they still kept, you know, my vice was drinking. You know, when I drank to get drunk. There was no social drinking with me. You know, I just like to party. Everything I do full blast. You know, and that's just how I'm wired for whatever reason. And so it was a problem in my life. You know, and it was going to destroy me. So I wanted to be set free because I didn't want to have to bow my knee anymore to that. I didn't want it to control my life because I didn't do very many stupid things unless I was drinking. How many's done something stupid when they were drinking or something? I mean, I think we all have. I mean, as you look back, you go, man, that was stupid. You know, why did I do that? I just wasn't thinking, you know, but When I got saved, they still make alcohol. Alcohol did not die, but I died to it. The power that it used to have on my life was taken away. Set free. No more power over me. No longer did I ever have to bow my knee to that. That's very liberating. And you can just interject in your life what it is that you feel is maybe holding you back or something that has a control over you. You know, could be bad attitude, could be drugs, could be anything. And you just need to die to that It's not going to die to you. It's still going to be out there. And the old nature is going to try to tap into that. You know, just like your radio station, right? If you turn that station knob to certain numbers, you get a certain signal. Correct? You know, and your flesh is tuned in to the carnal signal. And whenever we tune into that signal, it activates our flesh and it tries to rise up to lead us into temptation and wants to make us fall because it does not want to surrender. But I got news, we control the knob, people.
Amen.
You can flip that over to the grace station in your life and start tapping into God's grace and start to see the power of God start to work in your life where you can get set free and you can start walking in that victory and you don't have to, you know, bow your knee to the devil anymore. It's a very liberating thing. Do I still get, I don't get tempted with alcohol. There's no desire there for me anymore. I stumble in other things. You know, my wife's here, so I got to be honest right today, you know. I'm not perfect, but I do know that I have died to a lot more things than I'm alive to and when it comes to things of this world. And it's important that we see that we can overcome. You know, we need to see that we die to sin because sin will not die to you. And you can see yourself walking in victory. Verse 3 and 4 goes on to say, or do you not know that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus, have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too, there we go, we too might walk in newness of life. Beautiful water baptism picture here. Now, we just had a water baptism here a month or two ago, and I went through a teaching on this, so I'm not going to go over this too much, but I want us to see the idea that we're buried with him in death and raised with him to the resurrection life. That's what happens.
Amen.
That's what has happened. We've died with him. And recently, we've been talking about a few big words, and I know they're kind of confusing. Just going to mention them quick here again. Justification, remember? Just as if I've never sinned. Remember, I ripped up the paper of all our sins, and that's how God sees us. He justified us. He took them away, legally. It's a legal transaction. You may not feel it, but legally it's been done. Then you got redemption. Redemption is talking about the idea of bringing a ransom, purchasing somebody out of slavery. And I used the idea of where the prophet had to buy his wife back, you know, because she was a prostitute. That was Hosea, and his wife was named Gomer, I think. I always think of Gomer Pyle for that reason. I don't know why when I hear that one. Some of you are probably too young. You don't know what that means. But anyway, that was always a weird name for me. And then the idea of righteousness, and we looked at that last week. And it's right standing with God. You know, it's kind of a robe of righteousness that's been put into our account. I do want to thank everybody for putting money into my account with those bank slips I passed out last week. No, I didn't get any money. But anyway, we're going to have two new words today. Two new words that kind of fit into this puzzle. And they are substitution and identification. Substitution and identification. Now, substitution helps us because it's the idea or the concept that Jesus took our place and paid our price. We deserve to go to the cross due to the sin nature that we have, due to the evil nature that we are. But Jesus took our spot. And so we need to see that. We need to understand that concept. It's a big revelation to grab a hold of. If we don't get this, a lot of these pieces don't fit together. But you need to see in your heart and in your mind the idea that Jesus Christ died for me. He's my substitute. I should have died. I should have had to pay for my sins because I'm a sinner. But Jesus died for me. He's my substitute. Okay, we don't leave it there. Then the next word is identification. is the idea that through substitution, you and I can now identify that we died with him. We died with him. And that's what that means. Jesus died on the cross for me, but when I identify with that, I also died with him. Not only did I die with him, but when he rose from the dead, I rise up with him. The resurrection life. And so we need to get these two concepts sort of settled on the inside. The idea that he's our substitute, but then also, you know, my signature scripture, as I've always mentioned, is Galatians 2:20. It says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. In that scripture, I want you to write that down. I want you to meditate on that. That scripture is the power of the gospel in your life. The idea of identification and substitution, the idea of getting set free and seeing that, you know, Jesus paid the price for all of us and that we died with him. So if you understand the fact or that concept of identification that you died with Christ on the cross, then you can die to sin. If you don't get that revelation, it's going to be hard to die to sin. But if you can see yourself as dead, meaning the old life is dead, it has no power over me, it does not control me, then you can start to get free and start to walk in a higher level of this resurrection life that Jesus Christ has for us, the newness of life on what he wants for us. He wants us to walk in that victory. He doesn't want us to walk defeated. He wants us to walk in victory. That's the kind of love that he has for us. So this revelation, like I mentioned, will bring breakthrough. You go from being a victim to being a victor. Amen? Start walking in that victory and start to see it happen. See, the Bible says that we can walk in this newness of life, not just know about it. You know, it's good to know things in the Bible. I love it. Information is power. But to just know about something but not really enjoy it, to me that's kind of frustrating. So what we have to do is before we can start walking it, we need to start talking it. Amen? We need to start saying what the Word says. We need to start saying what God says we can do. Even though we may not be there yet, we can start saying this is what God says. This is what I'm heading for. And we can start to walk in that power that he has for us. The next verse is verses 6 and 7. It says, knowing this, that our old self, again, was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we no longer a slave to sin, but he who has died is freed from sin. See, our old nature that we have to watch about, or the old man. You know, the old man is not your husband, ladies. You know what I'm saying? The old man is that old nature, that the way we used to live, and it has three major influences that you and I have to watch. We have to be careful about. The first one is the flesh, and that's the carnal cravings and all that go with it. It's the pattern of life that you and I lived in before we came to Christ. All them carnal cravings, all those things we did that were contrary to God and his word. And, you know, and all those things, it just activated that carnal, that flesh nature. And so that influences us. So what it is, we get born again, we get changed, our spirit becomes new, but we still have to renew our mind and deal with that. So then all these things kind of factor in, and, you know, just the old saying, you know, how many said, I'll never be like my parents? And then? You have kids? And then all of a sudden, wow, I'm just like my parents. Where'd that come from? We learned it over years of living. So that old patterns and old habits, you know, maybe we had some habits and those habits come up. The second thing after the flesh is the world system we lived in. That's talking about the environment, our environment you and I live in. excuse me, we live in a hostile world. We live in an antichrist world. You know, it's not wanting to surrender. It wants to do its own thing. So the world we live in is trying to influence us and manipulate us like kind of being a puppet master. You know, trying to make us fit in and do things and stuff that we don't want to do, but we're surrounded by it. You know, everywhere you go, all these things are trying to activate our flesh nature, the carnal nature, trying to get it to rise up again. So we're dealing with that. So we're dealing with our own flesh that we live in, you know, that old nature that's there. And then we got the world system that's trying to mess with us. Well, then we got the third thing, and that's the devil and his demons. You know, the devil is an evil influencer, right? Everybody's watching influencers on Instagram and all these places, right? These people that try to influence us to buy something or do something. Well, that's what the devil's doing. He's trying to influence us. And he has his helpers, his demons, and he's a tempter, and he knows our weaknesses. But don't be afraid of him. We don't ever need to be afraid of the devil, because the greater one lives inside of us. Just know that he's out there.
Amen.
And he's trying to do things. So, I mean, just catch him in his lies. And, you know, whatever he says is a lie, right? I try to get this through to a lot of kids and whoever I talk to counseling. Well, if somebody said that to you, I say, well, is it true? They say, no. Well, then what are you worried about? If somebody says something that's not true, you shouldn't worry about it. And see, the devil's a liar. So to me, whatever he says, not true. And it doesn't have any influence over me. So we have to see ourselves as being crucified with him. We will no longer be a slave to sin. And that's what we don't want to be anymore, is a slave to sin. Here's the key scripture sort of in this passage in some degree, is Romans 6:11. It says, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. You know, like I said, talking about who Paul's talking here. I mean, man, this was written several thousand years ago. This is some heavy duty doctrine in this thing. For a lot of people, and I don't want to make us sound, but I mean, a lot of us are educated. I mean, we went to school, right? How many graduated high school? Praise God. I mean, a lot of these people maybe never went to school. And he's flipping this heavy revelation on these guys. But they get it, you know. It says here, we have to consider ourselves, okay? This engages our mind. The word consider is talking about reason, reckon, or putting things together or calculate this out. See, the problem is the fact that we hear this stuff, but we don't ponder it. We don't really think about it. How does this pertain to me? You know, we have to insert ourselves into the situation. And we have to ponder it out and see how it kind of fits together. And that's how we consider it. So when we get these things figured out in our mind, it's going to start working. Once you really put your heart to this and put your mind to this to be able to see just how, you know, God was so intricate in having to, the whole redemption story of coming to get us and rescue us, a rescue mission. That's what it was. Jesus Christ was on a rescue mission. And he saved us. And everything, how it fits together, then we can ponder that in our mind and we can see how this really works. Because we need to see that we need to die to sin, because sin does not die to us. You say, how? I know I've said this, and I'm pretty sure some of you are probably thinking, how do I do this? No, I'm asking you, how do you do it? No, I know. Here's one key ingredient. We need to realize that we're not that old person anymore. You need to realize that. That's not me. That's who I used to be. Have you ever ran into somebody and they still see you as that old person? Or they still see you as that person you used to be in high school? Or that person that you used to be before you came to Christ? That's all they know you as. But you're not that person no more. And we need to realize that we are not that no more. We're what Jesus Christ says. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're a child of God.
Amen.
We're training for reigning right now. Because we're going to rule and reign with him, people.
Thank you.
We're not just that some old, sinner just trying to get by. Jesus wants us to see this revelation. Then in verse 12 and 13, it goes on to say, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Okay. To me, we need to make right choices. That's part of it. Grace is not just saying, God, you do it all. No. We got to participate. So we don't allow sin to reign in us and by obeying its lust. Bible gives us an out. 1 Corinthians, 10:13? No temptation has overcome you such as common to man. But God will provide a way of escape. Okay? God's not leaving us hanging, people. He's not leaving us down here on our own. God wants us to overcome. He wants us to walk in that kind of victory. So he's going to help us in whatever way he can, but it comes back to us being willing to do it. Now, so it says that here that we present your body as an instrument of righteousness and not unrighteousness. Well, that word instrument can also be translated weapon. Have you ever considered your body a lethal weapon? Right? Maybe if you learn kung fu or something, my body's a lethal weapon. Well, your body can be a lethal weapon for good, or it can be a lethal weapon for evil. It all depends on how you want to play it. And God wants us to be able to live for him and being able to walk in that victory. And so, technically, another way of overcoming is that, you and I are acting out what's in our soul, our mind, and we're acting out in our body. Your body really doesn't do things unless its mind tells it to do so. Correct? So what does that tell us about what we need to do with our mind? We got to control our mind. You got to control what you think about. You can't just put your mind on autopilot and just allow bad things to come into your life and into your thinking. If you have a problem with lust, for heaven's sakes, do not watch shows with naked people on it. You probably shouldn't watch that, anyway. Right? If you have trouble with lust. If you have trouble with gossip, what do? Well, you don't let your mind go there. Correct? So those are just practical things, because we're going to act out what we think about. And so we need to learn how to think about it. The Bible says, think on good things. And this is a struggle for some. Because bad things have happened to you. Some of you might have been raised in a war zone. Maybe raised by wolves is what I say. And so it's survival. And the idea of being able to overcome that kind of thinking is something that we have to do to control our mind and not let our mind go there. The best counsel I can give, think on good things and think the best about people until they prove you wrong, and then still forgive them. Right?
Amen.
If you can think the best about things, It may not be true right now, but you're going to be happier. And I'm just talking about us right now. We can't change somebody else for the most part. We can only change us. We can only change our thought processes and on how we deal with things. Amen? All right, verse 14. This is a lot better than you're letting on, but anyway. For sin should not be, I mean, this is kind of heavy stuff, I know. For sin should not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Sin shall no longer be our master due to God's grace. So we have that God's grace. So God has given us all the grace we need to overcome the old life. We talked about that. And we don't continually, like I said, have to bow our knee again. We don't have to do that. You know, we can live that overcoming life and be able to walk in victory. Verse 16, do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? So, we become a slave to what we obey. What do we obey? Well, what are we following? What do we let control us? Right? What is controlling our lives? What is controlling our mind? And we can make choices there. You know, we don't let, you know, things that are contrary to God's word control us and to get us off what we know to be thinking about, because we're a slave to what we obey. And the word obedience there is talking about compliance or conformity to. So if we're a slave to sin, it makes us conform to its image. What image are we supposed to be conformed or transformed to? See, the world conforms us into its image, but the Bible says be transformed into God's image.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
So your mind has a lot to play in this, doesn't it? It's so important to overcome. Verse 17, some good news. We need it a little bit, right? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves to sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching which you were committed. See, we all serve someone. God has given us the option to obey Him. That's all we got to do. You may not be there yet, walking it, but what I do, and I try to tell people, when I pray, I say, God, this is what I want to do. I don't want to gossip anymore. I don't want to be in pride anymore. I don't want to have negative thoughts anymore. Help me. Help me. You know what? That's in God's wheelhouse. You know what I'm saying? God can help us.
Amen.
God can help us. And we can start to let go of these things. And we can start to see some change. I mean, there's going to be some setbacks, don't get me wrong. But still, we're going to win a lot more than we fail, because we do serve someone somewhere at one time. And so that's why we need to be obedient from the heart to that teaching. So that tells us we need to be in the Word of God, people. The Word of God is a life-changing force. It has the power to transform us. And, you know, when people tell me, you know, I just don't like reading. I just go, man, you're going to have to get over it. You're going to have to read. I mean, praise God, we got the Bible where it'll read to you now. You know what I'm saying? How lazy are we? You know, we hit a button and it'll read the Bible to us. I mean, that's kind of handy, but, you know, still, we need to read it out loud with our mouth and start to speak it. And, you know, you don't have to read the whole Bible. I mean, but read some passages. Read some scriptures that deal with your situation and start to speak it out. You'll be surprised what you can learn. And once you see results, nobody probably really likes working out the first time, especially a day after, because you're sore. But if you continually do it, and you start to see the fruit, even though you don't feel like going to work out, you're going to do it because on the other side is something that you want. That's why we go to work. We want a paycheck, right? I want money. because I need money to feed my family and to pay for some of my things I want. So we do it because we see a reward. And I want us to see the reward of what it means is to get into these things of God and start to die to self and start to change the way we think, because the Word of God is a transforming power. And the power that's on the Word of God can change your life. You know, here's why. There's power on the Word of God to change your life if we do what it says, not what we think it says or what we want it to say. It won't work if we go in there with just trying to make it say what we want. We got to do it what God says. Verse 22, but now having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit. Here's a benefit. Resulting in sanctification and the outcome eternal life. Sanctification is the result of being freed from sin and enslaved to God, resulting in eternal life. We're going to wrap up 6:23 here right now. Very good scripture. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's benefit package. You know, being self-employed a lot of times, I never had insurance, but I had a benefit package. And that benefit package came from God. And I'm thankful for that benefit package. Amen. And what all that does. And Romans 6:23, I'm just going to mention this. I'm going to go into it in depth in Romans 10. But this is part of Romans Road. If you want to lead somebody to the Lord, these are four scriptures. That's very simplistic. Romans 3:23, 6:23, 5:8, and 10:9. And we're going to go through that in Romans 10. And I'll explain it a little bit better. Now we're jumping into chapter 7. I've only picked a couple scriptures here, so we're doing fine. Romans chapter 7, verse 6, it says, but now we all have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of the Spirit, not in oldness of letter. See, the law, like we always say, was a tutor to teach us that we can never keep the law. It was to show us that we fall short. And so it's a good thing. I mean, some people look at that as a negative, but no, it's a positive thing, because it shows us that we can't do it. So that's why God wanted to get through to the children of Israel when they had the law, that somebody was coming. And that somebody was the Messiah. And we call him Jesus Christ. And the idea of we're serving in the newness of letter and not the oldness of the letter, but we're serving in the newness of spirit. Remember, it's relationship, not rules. Work on your relationship with God. Obedience will come. Because I don't believe anybody would ever want to hurt somebody they love on purpose. Right? Not on purpose anyway. We might mess up and do it. But nobody in their right mind would ever want to hurt somebody that they love. And so if we work on our relationship and we love God, it's not a problem staying away from some of the things he asked us to stay away from that hurt us in the first place. It's not that God wants us not to have fun. That's what I thought starting out. You know, when I was a kid growing up, you know, I was not a Christian. And I thought, man, some of them God things are kind of restrictive, you know, to the things I wanted to do. Right? Well, then I started to find out, well, God just didn't want me to have fun, but God wanted me not to get hurt. Because that's what sin does. It hurts us. We might say, oh, no, don't hurt me. It does. But then we cover up and try to shield it and make it so it doesn't bother us anymore. See, our freedom in Christ was not given so that we can do, was not given so we do not have to serve him, but so we can serve him better. That's what freedom's about. Like I said, if you want to see that a dog loves you, unhook him from the chain. If he stays home, he loves you. If he don't stay home, you're just a meal ticket. Right? We used to have hunting dogs, and we always let them run, you know, at night. We always kept them chained up, but they always came home. I don't know if they knew they loved us, but they evidently liked our food. I don't know. But, you know, so the idea of how this kind of works is don't allow ourselves to get bound up in legalism, but focus on freedom in Christ. See, we don't have to read the Bible. We get to read the Bible.
Amen.
We don't have to pray. We get to pray.
Amen.
Serving Jesus is not about having to, but getting to. And Christianity is not a burden, but a blessing. We need to see how that relationship works. Now, verse 15 is kind of the key scripture of this chapter, in my opinion. Here's the Apostle Paul, wrote probably two-thirds of the New Testament, went around and planted all these churches, was highly renowned, and then he got really brutally honest right here. Just brutally honest about himself. Verse 15. For what am I doing? I do not understand, for I am not practicing that which I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. Right? That's what happens in our life, doesn't it? We know better, but sometimes we don't do better. And here, so I want us to understand that here's what happens. Whenever we fail, whenever we fall short, either some well-meaning loved one thought you were a Christian, or the idea of the devil coming in to try to bring shame to our life because we failed, I want us to know that this man of God had the same problems that you and I have to deal with. As anointed as he was, as spiritual as he was, every now and then that flesh nature would come in and get the worst of him. So don't let it keep you down, but make you keep going. Amen?
Amen.
Keep going.
Yes.
Get up off the ground.
Yes.
Repent. Ask for forgiveness if you need to do that. And just keep heading towards God.
Thank you.
See, there's always going to be this battle between the new life and the old life going on inside of us. That's just the way it is. You know, we struggle with this all our life. And we're going to continue to struggle with it to different degrees until Jesus comes for us or we go to him. That's just the way it is. But that's okay. We're more than overcomers. The blood of Jesus, we can do this, people. Never give up, never give in. Just give it over to him. Right? Just give it over to him. Verse 24, Paul goes on to say, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of this death? Who will set me free, it says here. Paul did not say, how can I set myself free? How can I fix this? Did not say that. He's looking for help. Who can set us free? He came to the realization that he couldn't do it himself. See, this body of death he's talking about, I'm sure put a picture in the people's mind. Because what would happen is evil tyrants, if they want to punish somebody, they would chain a dead corpse to them. Could you imagine having a dead body chained to you? Oh, I'm getting sick thinking about it. Rotting and smelly, putrid thing. They would chain that to you as a form of punishment. And that's kind of the picture that Paul's looking here. This old flesh nature that you and I deal with is that old, rotten, putrid flesh. And we have to deal with that. Because that's what the old life is. So don't ever think about going back, people. There's no life there. If there was life there, you would never have left it. Right? You would never have left it if there was something there. So never go back to that old death. But no, what I like to do, I'd say keep that old flesh downwind. You know what I'm saying? So you don't have to smell it. Last verse, 25. Again, Paul ends in a great hoorah. Thanks be to God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, On one hand, I myself, with my mind, I am serving the law of God, but on the other hand, with my flesh, the law of sin. So, here we see who we are. I'm not going to go into spirit, soul, body teaching today, but we're a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. Our spirit has been born again and new. We're trying to fix our soul, our thinking. So, as we continually work on that, that transforming power, the Word of God, changes us so that we can start to overcome and we can start to comply, make our flesh comply. See, what's happening is that our spirit is pulling us to God, our soul. Our flesh is trying to pull our soul back into the old nature. So this constant tug of war is going on inside of you. Let God win. Lean in. Lean into God, right? Lean into that new nature. And you'll watch that old nature start to wither up. Because you're not feeding it. Because whatever you don't feed will die. Right? Whatever we will not feed or whatever we do not feed will die. So do not feed the flesh, feed the spirit. The real us is the new us, and the old us is dead. And we need to die to sin because sin does not die to us. And right now, as we close in prayer, we're going to have a song here at the end talking about the cross has the final word. So we're going to have a funeral service right now. Amen? We're going to have a funeral service. And maybe you're struggling with some things right now in your life. Maybe that old nature's been cropping up and you're doing things you don't want to do. You're thinking things you don't want to think about. Well, we're going to put it to death again today. We're going to remind it that it's dead and it has no power. If you want to come to the altar, come to the altar. But let's sing this song with our whole heart.